Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And of course, with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian, and I am here with my gaggle of gay geeks that we call Flame On. I'm looking right at Oral.
I'm sitting in a new seat.
You're like the new and improved Oral.
Uh-huh.
How's your head?
Very well. Outstanding, even.
New and improved. I also have next to me on my left, Jared.
Hi.
That joke was funny because I just recently got a haircut.
Oh, it's true. You got all of them cut. I hate that joke. I'm sorry. I made it so dumb and stupid.
God.
I got a haircut, too. Mm-hmm. I know this is great radio, but I got a haircut. And then BJ's there.
Hey, what's up? I'm trying to figure out whether or not I'm offended by being called a gaggle. I would rather be called a murder of gay geeks.
Well, but there's no alliteration if you're a murder of gay geeks. If you're a gaggle of gay geeks, there's an alliteration.
If you're a murder of gay geeks, that's called a hate crime.
I think that's legal now in North Carolina. Oh, too soon.
Topical.
Talk
don't
about
forget
that
Mississippi,
too.
Mississippi, MISSISS, kiss my ass.
Seriously. Well, if you've never listened to our show before, welcome. We are the internet's, not oldest, but one of the older gay geeky podcasts. There are many to choose from these days. I don't know if you know that.
Fanboys of the Universe?
They are older than us. God rest their
website. They've only done like 7 episodes.
Is that right?
I'm being facetious.
Well, no, but their website, they update it, but they're not around. Comic Book Queers, if you've ever checked them out, they occasionally do an episode and put stuff up online. In fact, Stevie D, fabulous guy. Love him to death. There's some other shows. Comic Book Bears, if you're into that kind of thing. I don't know any others. There's probably a few, though.
We have a lot of content to get through. Can we, like, wrap this up?
Oh, so... Where you gotta go? You got somewhere to be?
No.
Mm-hmm. Wearing the tank top and just new Jared.
Seriously. No, it's I blame the jorts.
You blame the jorts?
The jorts that are rolled up.
Okay. Always blame
the
jorts.
Don't call them jorts. They're better than that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we are going to talk about pop culture. We are talking about movies, TVs, video games, comic books, whatever piques our interest. But we want to start with movies because there have been a few amazing comic book movies that have come out recently.
And surprise, listeners, I've seen them all.
Usually. You get there eventually.
Eventually.
And one of them, actually two of them now, have been out for a few weeks. So let's start with the oldest. And it's been a while since you've heard from all of us if you're a longtime listener.
I think the last time was like close to Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we've been busy. We've had some other stuff. But Deadpool, speaking of Valentine's Day, did come out.
Mm-hmm. Yup.
Mm-hmm. And we would love to share our opinions about it. I think, Jared, you did not see this, correct?
I did.
Oh, you did see this
one. I did.
Okay, so we've all seen Deadpool.
Yes.
And I saw a face. Well, it was a face.
No, I've seen Deadpool.
Okay. We all like Deadpool, I think.
Yes.
That's the face. There's the dissenting opinion.
There it is.
Okay. Here's the thing. When I saw Deadpool, I happened to have a gift card to Fandango. And so I spent $1.66 on two tickets.
Whoa. Good job. Well,
and I still kind of wanted my money back. And it's not because I thought Deadpool was bad. It was done really well. It kept me engaged. But I could give two flying fucks about Deadpool.
Okay.
I don't care.
As a character, as an idea.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I don't, that's not to say that I think the character is bad. I just don't care.
Right.
And so if you are a Deadpool fan or this was your first introduction to Deadpool and you thought it was phenomenal, it is a great movie. It is the greatest Deadpool movie that anyone who's a fan or tangentially a fan or a new fan could ever ask for. Having said that, for someone who's not a Deadpool fan, it was good. Don't get me wrong. Still don't care.
So basically what you're saying is you don't like it.
I like seeing him take it up the ass.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, yeah.
Come on, it's Ryan Reynolds.
That was... Yeah.
But if you are a Deadpool fan, or if you are just one of these people who loves I don't know, who loves really ridiculous, over the top, hard R action adventure comedy. It was good. I think good for that.
Yeah. No, it was like for an origin story, I was actually engaged. I just didn't care.
It the thing I liked about it is the fact that it was, because I enjoyed the movie. But like Oral, Deadpool's not like my go-to character. I find him entertaining.
Doing better than me.
I find him entertaining. I like it when they, like, he popped up in Ultimate Spider-Man, the animated series. He's pop, like, I love playing with him in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. What I liked most about the movie is the fact that the movie did so well, it's caused this kind of ripple in the movie industry where now they're like, well, crap, maybe we should have made the Wolverine movies rated R since he, like, cuts people's arms off all the time. Maybe we should have, like, thought about doing this rated R. So it's kind of made the movie industry think about things like that, because they're talking about making the last Wolverine movie rated R, which I don't think will save it, because all the other Wolverine movies have been bleh. But
I would disagree with you on
so
that.
Bad.
Yeah, the last one I think was head and shoulders above the first one.
Oh yeah.
But the bar
was set pretty low.
So no, and they're actually doing reshoots on Suicide Squad, possibly in part because of Batman v Superman, but also possibly because of Deadpool, to make it funnier.
I would say both.
You know who didn't have to ask to bring back? Viola Davis. She came in, she did her line, she's like, y'all good? We good? That'll be $8 million, please. And I'm gone.
Really?
Oh, probably. Yeah. It was very expensive reshoot, so obviously they reshot everybody.
Well, I wish that they will make more, and I think that is the likely case now. I do really think that the movie did not just Deadpool well, Colossus, the best we've seen of a Colossus in a movie.
Yeah.
In a while.
Big brother.
Kind of ridiculous. I mean, admittedly, very X-Men 92, like, you know, era kind of.
Well, that's always been Colossus.
Yeah,
Colossus,
a little bit.
Even when they gave him grit, he was gritless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the who's the other character? Negasonic Warhead?
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
You know, that was cute. I mean, I like Grant Morrison stuff, and even though X-Men, his new X-Men is kind of hit or miss for some people, that was a cool character to see show up, this like kind of little angsty teenager, and the jokes made at her expense were also really funny.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds, of course, very good Deadpool. I think we would agree that compared to his other role, Green Lantern.
As Deadpool.
Well, and then that. Other roles in the comic universe, this is probably the best thing he's done.
He was born to do it.
And again, even though you don't like Deadpool, I'm not a big Deadpool fan either. I had no problem parting with my first appearance of Deadpool for a nice amount of money back when the movie had come out. I was very happy overall getting rid of that. New Mutants, 92, I think.
92.
Yep. It is a character that, you know, in the right hands, Rick Remender, let's say, they can do good things with it. It's a fun complement. It's a flavor. It's a color that mixes well with other things and can be done well. And I think this movie did about as well as you could do. So really, with the sequel, do we have any expectations of things we want to see?
They've already confirmed that it's Cable's going to be in it, and I'm 100% sure that Domino is going to be in it, because they said the main reason they didn't have those characters in the first one or even make cameos in the first one was mostly just because of money. You know, they just
X-Men, and they had a giant, they showed the X-Mansion sort of, but they didn't have any more than two X-Men.
But it was clear the reason they didn't have any more X-Men was because of money. But I do know those two are confirmed for the next one.
I'm curious to see what they do after X-Men Apocalypse with Deadpool. Like, they're talking about rebooting the X universe. Do they just basically reboot it in the Deadpool sort of continuity and have that in some way, shape, or form, or something else? Like, with the popularity of Deadpool, and it did very well, I believe it is now the highest grossing
rated R movie.
There was a trivia thing that I did for Pat, and that was one of the questions. It's going to be an influence on other Fox X properties.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Cable's great, Deadpool. Vanessa, supposedly, at least the same character name, is the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Copycat, right?
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure she's supposed to be Copycat.
Yeah. I mean, they. I don't know if it was an earlier draft of the film, but that character's name, Vanessa whatever, is the girlfriend.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see if they play off that.
And yeah, I don't know. Just great. I enjoy it. Soundtrack's fun. Action was ridiculous and what you'd expect. Both obscene and also riveting. I don't know. I was interested. Jared, did you like the movie?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
What was your favorite thing about it, or what'd you like?
I'd have to go back and actually think about that. But you know, overall, it was entertaining. Yeah. I know very little about Deadpool, so I came with just a blank slate of expectations for the film. But you know, I enjoyed it.
So, contrasting Deadpool's overall enjoyable experience, we are now come to the moment where we must obligatorily, I think it's a contractual obligation with Nerdy Show, we must discuss Batman v Superman.
Well, I haven't seen it, so...
That's all right. Now, that's okay. You can be, if you want to ask dumb questions, or not dumb questions, of course, but if you want to ask anything about this or that, keep that in mind.
I have no questions.
All right. If you can think of a question the audience might enjoy us answering, that would be good, too. But the rest of us have seen it at least once, more than once.
I've seen it.
I'm just asking. I know people who enjoyed it and saw it more than once. I'm just saying. I know people. Now, we'll also say that if you enjoyed it, that's good for you. We're very happy with your life choices.
I'm going to say I almost saw it a second time, but purely because I had a six-year-old sitting behind me the whole movie in a squeaky chair. And just as a disclaimer, if you are a parent and you go to see this movie, this will not hold your child's interest.
Real? Oh, well.
At all.
Until at least the end.
Until at least the last 20, maybe 30 minutes. But it's not going to hold your kid's interest because it's a very, I want to quote unquote, hard-hitting superhero movie. So it's very, you know, there's a lot of build. There's a lot of dialogue. A lot of things.
I think what you described just now is a great summation of the directorial style of the film.
Yes.
What was it? What were the words again? A
quote unquote,
a 6-year-old on a squeaky chair.
It will not hold. I will say if you have children and they've loved the Marvel movies and you think you're going in for something that's colorful and that's going to hold a child's attention, it will not. It really will not.
So let's break this apart for a little bit. I don't want to dwell on this. I think the overall consensus for this, unlike Deadpool, is it was bad. Oral, what did you like least about the movie?
So overall, I gave it a C.
Okay.
And it's not to say
that... So it's a passing grade.
Yes. I didn't despise it. I didn't love it. Do we ask what I like most about it?
No, I want you to say what you did not. What did you like least?
The thing I like least about it is that I feel as if they couldn't decide what they wanted to be. And in that, they decided to go for this sort of like realistic sort of take on the world. And that's fine. But the problem becomes like it's just oppressive. Like, you don't want to be Superman. You don't want to be Batman. You may want to be Wonder Woman, who was the best part of that movie. But, you know, it didn't have the spirit of comic books. You didn't read it. You didn't sit through that movie and watch it as this sort of, like, escapist sort of experience. It was just like, this is fucking awful. Like, And, you know, for people who said, well, you know, like Marvel is more for kids and DC is more adult, I wouldn't say that. I would say that they decided that they were just going to be this sort of joyless diatribe that we saw. And that's not saying that there weren't aspects that I was really happy to see. I like the universe building, the introduction of like Kryptonite, a more gadgety Batman. A more sour Alfred, you know, a great Wonder Woman. Like, you know, Gadot did like a really awesome job.
Fantastic.
She was literally the one silver lining in this movie where it's like you have a Lex Luthor who I personally don't mind because I know people who have been really sort of like incredibly brilliant and come across as really manic. And then they kind of like throw in a dash of, well, maybe he's not in his right state of mind. That's a great, you know, segue to what's coming. And it's not. I don't know why I'm selling a Nightmare Batman pop. I don't know why I have an Aquaman or a Superman Soldier pop. Like, the movie makes no sense. And they hedged their bets.
Yes.
And that's the thing that I don't like, is that they kind of shoehorned in these extra things to say, hey, just so you guys know, this shit is coming.
Right.
And this is what's going to bring you back, instead of a movie that was cohesive.
Right.
And something that you wanted to watch.
So I want to talk about that. There's a bunch of stuff you said that I really want to just pick apart a little bit and agree with mostly. Let's start with the extras bit. The introducing the Justice League, let's say. So a good filmmaker, in my humble opinion, would come at it from maybe that prophecy-esque thing that Batman experiences, maybe a flash forward, you know, you think like Lost or something. Something where you show the team emerging in some way together, or somehow interacting or doing something with these different characters. That would be a more organic element of the story, even though it's jumping forward, even though it's a flash, a prophecy, whatever.
Well, they kind of had that.
No, they did not. What they did instead was they played YouTube clips. And I don't mean YouTube literally, but you know what I mean? Of each character doing their little thing in their own little
place.
.mov
files.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking stupid. I'm sorry.
.mp4.
The cheapest gag you can pull, and I think low rent
QuickTime videos.
QuickTime, really.
Well, no, that's what I was talking about. I was talking about the whole nightmare scenario. They could have just left it at that.
No,
but
the nightmare scenario is bullshit. It was all a dream. You know, Saint Elsewhere
Then there's the weird question mark with the Flash.
Let's get back to that too.
But no, look, here's the thing. Don't pick it apart. It doesn't matter. Who cares? It's shoddy and terrible movie telling. It's terrible storytelling.
But I feel like
who wants that?
I mean, again, this is obligatory. Obviously, a lot of you have already seen it. You either love it or you hate it. You don't care maybe what we think. But in the interest of reviewing it, I feel it is important to point it out and why this is so bad. And the why with the nightmare sequence is what you said. Is it a nightmare? Is it a prophecy? In what way, shape, or form can Flash suddenly put like a nightmare or a thing into your head? Or is that even real? Like, the movie didn't even try to answer that. They threw it in almost as like an Easter egg, maybe? It was just bizarre and it didn't make sense. The scene itself was cool. If you took that and just showed that as like a segment, like in an Elseworlds or in a whatever, I liked it as a sequence. It was really cool. What if Superman went unhinged because Lois got killed? What would he do? And how would Batman try to stop him? And what would their relationship be? It played off what I guess a lot of people now think about DC, which is the Injustice Gods Among Us, either from the comic or the video game, which kind of has something similar in that scenario with Superman losing his mind and taking over. But by laying in the dark side stuff, by kind of putting these little tastes out there, but not making it a cohesive whole, it just detracted, didn't add to the overall experience that I had, and I think that you had, Oral.
Exactly.
What about you, BJ?
The execution. My issues with the movie were mostly execution. Like you said, it was just kind of like, here's the thing. We're not gonna explain the thing.
Here's a scene.
But we're just gonna drop this in there and be like, here you go. Like, some people may know what this is about, but this is the movie, so you may not actually know what it's about. You'll just have to catch Justice League Part 1.
Read the clip notes. No, and then like you're saying,
I wouldn't even say that. They didn't care.
Yeah.
Like,
it was
they
just
didn't care. And you know, that's I'm not gonna bash Zack Snyder. Like there were multiple people involved with this movie.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. It's not entirely on his shoulder.
And,
yeah.
You know, when you, to be a little nitpicky, when you decide that the beacon of hope, the one that always perseveres and does what right, says, we all turn bad sometime, and fly off into the night sky, I'm just like, that's when I realize that they have no clue what they're doing.
With Superman? Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically with Superman.
Batman's fine, whatever.
Yeah, Ben Affleck as a character, Batman aside, like that was actually okay.
I didn't hate it. I honestly didn't hate it. And
Alfred was interesting.
But you know what's going to be cool? Wonder Woman.
Oh,
and
well,
with that,
fuck
literally,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's nothing else
Wonder
to talk
Woman,
about.
Wonder Woman, even to the moment, okay, the music, okay, look, I just want to tie this thing because I always pay attention to the music. I hated Man of Steel. I thought they did not get Superman. But the music was really uplifting and powerful, and it was a weird dissonance for me. In this film, they Hans Zimmer, who I just got to see last night, actually, with a UCF thing. It was really cool at the Dr. Phillips Center. I'll talk about that later. It was like his music was actually kind of uplifting for Superman's theme. But Superman throughout the whole movie, both Man of Steel and Batman, Dark Knight Returns, Batman v Superman was just awful and depressing and not Superman.
Yeah.
So when you have all that and you don't understand Superman, you're then going to further get a bad relationship. You're not going to build the right relationship with Batman and Superman. The fact that in Dark Knight Returns, which they borrowed liberally from, I would think you'd agree, the Frank Miller comic, at that point in their respective relationships, they are old, old acquaintances, if not friends or frenemies or whatever. Then they fight. Then they have this knockdown dragout. In this universe, they are just meeting for the first time. Superman knows that Lex is manipulating him to try to fight Batman. So instead of being the Superman that gets in there, makes the wise choice, doesn't exert his muscles unless he needs to, he totally fucks that up. And then gets into a giant knockdown, drag-out fight just because that's what you need for a quote-unquote entertaining film. And I will admit, I was entertained by the fighting. But it has the emptiness, the vapidness of a video game cutscene.
For like all 5 minutes of it.
Well,
it's really not. It's like
their fight, you're right. But then it leads into the Doomsday stuff. And, you know, I don't even – like that's a whole other thing. Was as soon as in the trailers I knew they were bringing out Doomsday, I'm like, oh, they're going to kill Superman.
But, you know – when you talk about trailers, I was like, oh, you know, there's Doomsday. Oh, they're fine. Oh, shit, they're going to kill Superman. Okay, whatever. But you know what looked amazing?
What's that?
Just by trailer alone?
Uh-huh.
Rogue One.
All right.
Yes.
You wanna put the other one to bed?
Yeah, because who cares?
You want to stake a kryptonite spear through its heart?
The sword? You mean the spear of Longinus? Yes.
It is. Oh my God! Yeah. Could we do that before we get to Rogue One? I do want to say one more thing, because I was trying to get back to the music of Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman's theme. I don't know if you noticed it. It had this like electric guitar, maybe violin thing. That with her coming out in full armor after seeing her be luxurious as Diana Prince, secret agent, spy lady, was magical. And everybody I've talked to, everyone I've seen it with or that I saw it with, everyone had a guttural yes reaction like out of it.
Yes,
like,
bitch.
Just, you're right. Absolutely right. Now, Rogue One.
Looks phenomenal.
Back to the better part of the geek universe of movies these days.
We have a new heroine.
Right.
She seems really sort of like, I'm here because you're forcing me to be, which is great because we have a reluctant hero who's an anti-hero.
Yep.
Yes.
But
she's a rebel.
She's a rebel.
Rebel.
I rebel.
Boo. Boo what? And hiss.
You don't like that?
No.
That's what I said.
It's terrible.
No. I love that we're getting sort of like the ugly side of Star Wars, where there won't be Jedis necessarily. There won't be...
Samurai, though.
Yeah. There won't be like really mythical beings clashing. It'll be just like people in the trenches fucking shit up for each other's side. So.
It's what... What was the game they were doing? There was a, when I went to the Star Wars celebration here a few years ago, they had a game coming out, and it was like the
Battlefront.
No, it wasn't Battlefront. 1313. Something like that.
Yeah, 1310.
That game would have potentially shown the first, like, I mean, other than, you know, extended universe, other stuff, would have shown like the seedy underbelly of
Coruscant.
Of Coruscant or of the Empire of whatever. I love in the trailer seeing more of the interior of the Death Star. Like, not just the stuff that we saw in Star Wars, but like new parts that you have to have. It's almost like, was it Kevin Smith that made the jokes about the workers on the Death Star, and there's probably a union, and
oh,
they all
God,
got blown
there's
up
been
and all
so many.
Stuff. Like, it kind of reminded me of that to some extent, just because, yeah, of course there's going to be all this transportation, even if it looks like the London Tube, or, you know, whatever inner workings of the Death Star that are really important. And they show that, which I love. That, and then, of course, the AT-AT on the beach. You know, only ever seen AT-ATs in, and this is kind of silly, but whatever. We've only ever seen it in Hoth, a snow world. Well, gee, guess what? They could be in other worlds, and now we get to see that. The white cloaked admiral, possibly a grand admiral. I'm not sure what his rank is yet.
Wait, does he have blue skin?
No, it's not Thawne.
No.
Okay.
No.
But it reminded a lot of people of Thawne from the Heir to the Empire books.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, he was, like, I think the first one that they showed, you know, a lot in the extended universe. So we mentioned the samurai. That was a cool sequence. Him with his looked like a regular like sword, not a lightsaber, beating the shit out of, you know, stormtroopers. Mon Mothma, who is one of my favorite characters in the whole thing, even though she's in it for a hot second in the whole original trilogy, that they recast her, and they did a really good job, I think.
Is it like, Tilda Swinton?
No, it's not Tilda Swinton. Surprisingly.
They made her look good.
They made her look real good.
Yeah. She looked good.
Yeah, I mean, like, so many things that this movie, as much as I like Force Awakens a lot, trust me, I really do. I watched it just recently again, and I feel like it was the Star Wars, you know, another 30 years later. But this is taking us back into that gritty, sort of less polished underbelly of the original Star Wars universe that we really, with the prequels, we certainly didn't get to see any of. So I'm very excited for it. I think Mads Mikkelsen is actually in it, but they didn't show him in the trailer. So I'm curious to see what role he's playing. And they also have a sequence where it's either like a back to tank or some kind of weird Imperial thing where there's a cloaked figure kneeling at.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of people are speculating that that's
Emperor.
Well, that's the Emperor, or that's the that's Darth Vader, because, you know, they could trot out Vader if they wanted to, not for a lot, but maybe for like a scene or two.
It's been discussed, like, yeah, that he may like reprise the voice and everything.
He certainly could. I mean, you know, while they can. The other thing that's interesting to me, there's two
about
things.
Straight white men or just men in general hating that.
Yes.
Surprise, well, there are women in the universe.
I want to get to that. But before we do that, the fact that this is a one-off story, and I'm very curious to see how they play that. Is it truly a one-off story, or are there implications that would feed into the future of the Star Wars universe? Some people have even thrown out the notion, just because that's what they do, that, oh, this could be the mother of Rey, or this could be the whatever. I mean, it doesn't necessarily make sense. We'll see what happens, but it was an interesting idea, at least. I don't think the universe is that, you know, precious. Like, it has to be the mother of Rey, right? It could be whoever.
They could. I mean, they could do subtle links, but they're apparently, and I don't know if anybody's watching it, but the Star Wars Rebel.
Yes.
Rebels.
Right.
That series is already, like, from the first season, because I think they just started season two. From the first season, they start kind of interlinking the prequels,
right,
with they do I mean, it's just little tiny things,
yeah,
but they start interlinking things. They kind of show you the fate of Ahsoka, all that stuff from the Clone Wars series.
Uh-huh.
Whether you watched it or not, it's, I mean, so you could actually start in on Rebels, and it just kind of adds that little extra touch, since now it's all kind of under the same wheelhouse.
Yeah, and Rebels is part of the continuity, so it is interesting to see how they do that. They're also tying in expanded universe stuff too, mm-hmm, in little bits and pieces. Now let's go to Oral Said, because I did want to touch on this. I personally did not see a lot of this bro reaction, fanboy reaction about why is there a strong I didn't see that.
Did you read the YouTube comments?
I did not. I never read the YouTube comments because that's a waste of my fucking time. Mm-hmm. But I did see the pieces about reacting to it. So I believe it happened. I guess it's one of those things where someone was talking about this the
other day. Surprise, people who don't look like you exist.
Well, right. And beyond that, oh, is that what it was? I was having a conversation with my mother about this, and then I had a conversation last night about big boy pride that's going on at Parliament, and one of these people I know at the bar was like, well, this is racist. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. This is not racist. If a group of people who have a strong identity or just are people and want to identify with themselves, especially if they're not in the quote-unquote privileged class of people, good, let them celebrate. Let them get out there and let them be them. Let them do their thing. This is a very
Just as long as they're not violent about it.
Well, of course, if they're not violent. I think that's a
given.
You can
apply that to any group.
Right, oh, absolutely. Well, you know, even, yeah, not violent and not exclusionary. And I'll tell you right now, I did not attend the event, mm-hmm. but I was there outside of it. And I saw plenty of representation of this, that, and the other body type. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they were like, oh, only big boys. It was a very big, like a mix of people.
I have a question.
Yes.
What was the race and or ethnicity of the person who thought it was racist?
He was Hispanic. Mm-hmm. I believe Brazilian.
Okay.
I don't know that for sure. He's like a bar friend, not a mm-hmm. person I know. I think he's on Facebook. Anyway.
Was he of the lighter complexion?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Could he pass for white?
Oh, of course.
And now I'm going to get real woke.
Go for it. This wasn't me, too, by the way. I'm totally telling you what, like, I actually experienced last night and had to explain to this guy. Just saying.
I am frustrated with people who say, you know, this is racist, or I know someone who is devastated that Jason Momoa, who's Hawaiian, is now Aquaman because Aquaman is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed individual. And just because a group of people, usually a minority, says we want to make something like Black Girls Rock or something that's really inclusive and empowering to our section of people, just because you aren't necessarily invited doesn't mean that we're excluding you to be racist. We are empowering ourselves as individuals, as a minority group who, let's be real, if chances are if you're a minority group, you're already oppressed, to say we are worth something. You don't have to be invited to everything. And for the person you spoke to who could pass for white, and for everyone who's white, who's really upset about like Bomani Jones with the white skins t-shirt, that's a sports thing. Don't worry about it. He wore like a white skins instead of like a red skins t-shirt, mm-hmm. but it was a blonde haired guy with, instead of a feather, it was a dollar sign. And people are just like, this is really offensive. Surprise. When it's you, it's offensive. When it's us, well, that's just the way things work. You don't have to have everything. You don't. It doesn't make sense. There are some things that are for you. There are some things that are for me. And sometimes when you take a moment to empower yourself or something doesn't reflect you, it doesn't have to. I don't look at every comic book and say, there's no representation of Black people. There should be more representation of Black people. There should be more representation of minorities across the board. I think that there should be more Asian characters in comic books, Asian American. Like, all we have is Amadeus Cho and probably like one other person. And I apologize for not knowing who that other person. North Star and
Genki, Miles' friend.
Yeah. But like, it's sometimes it's not for you, especially if something seems positive and not racial, like as in like negating other people, putting other people's down. Just saying that we are phenomenal. We are a group of people who haven't been represented in something. Like, fuck off. You don't deserve everything. Not everything is a default for white. So fuck off. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
Amen. I agree completely. I and this is the thing. I'm sitting there explaining it to them last night. As a gay man talking to another gay man, I'm like, this is what my mother would say about why do you have to have gay pride. It's like, do you understand that we are celebrating who we are? We are not excluding anyone. And we are a group that is certainly in the minority and need to have a little more visibility and should be proud of who we are and getting that message out in a positive way. I guarantee you, if you had a white pride rally, I'm not saying it would 100% be true because I'm sure someone could pull it off, but it would be a lot more charged and hate-filled and like a Trump rally than it would be like big boy pride or gay pride or bear pride or I don't know, whatever else that is out there that celebrates their own culture.
Well, it just speaks volumes because that's what in it, it lets you know what they're doing in their head when they go to an event that they think is for them right. only. they're afraid somebody's about to think about how they think about other people to them.
Right.
It's fear. It's like, oh, crap, well, this shit's not fair. Oh, shit, it's about to be not fair, but I'm not the one getting what I want.
Right.
That's exactly how it is.
And you hear this, like Aura was saying, with representation in comics right now. I've heard on several podcasts that I listen to how they really don't like Sam Wilson as Cap, how they really don't like a woman as Thor, how they really don't like, not so much this, but Kamala Khan, or you know, these other new, different non-white ethnicities and non-male genders out there as characters. And they just, why do you keep changing our characters?
It's pandering.
It's pandering.
You have everything.
Right.
You literally have everything.
Now, the only thing I will say is there are people, so we're casting a broad brush, there are people who I think don't see that as much as, but that's my thing you're taking from me. I want Steve Rogers. I want old, classic, whatever Thor. I want, whoever. Like, make a new character that sticks. But as we've all known from comics over the years, and even Star Wars as well, it is hard to get new things to stick and take off.
Not only that, there have been multiple Iron Mans.
That's
true. There have been multiple Captain Americas.
Mm-hmm.
There have been multiple Spider-Mans. Like, it's, like, these are mantles. These are ideas.
Sure.
And white doesn't necessarily mean authentic. That's the thing. It's, anybody can be Spider-Man. Anybody can be Batman. Anybody can be Captain America. And it doesn't matter if they show their face or not. They are taking up an idea. And anyone and anybody can be an idea.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's the thing that frustrates me the most, is because people automatically assume that just because something's been something or some way for X amount of years, it makes it okay. That's not it. No. Which is why we have this sort of like new historicism sort of take on things.
Yes.
Is because, you look back and you think, well, at some point in our lives, in our society, as like a species, as human beings, like, people have owned other people. We know that that's fucked up. Nobody should own anybody else. But 200 years ago, you could say that about anybody, regardless of race. They're like, oh, well, this is my property. People aren't property. You look at that now and say, that's really fucked up. Unless you're like super racist when you think, oh, no, this makes sense. Like,
can I just stop you and say,
make it great again,
that you got me so excited when you said new historicism. I have not thought about that since college, and I love you.
You're
because
welcome.
I need to get back into lit theory so bad. It was so much fun. Just, I love that.
I'm sorry. Let's.
You're good. Keep, but I think we have addressed, I'll dial it back here, we have addressed this issue of fanboy reaction, or whoever, not just fanboys.
Well, just take the word fanboy out and just put in fan. Addict. Yeah. Fanatic.
There you go. Fanatic. And the real mainstream, most, I believe in the decency of man and woman and everyone in between, that they don't care about this. That it's, they're like, great, that's a new Star Wars movie. There's a strong woman character. Great. Who cares? Let's go on. Let's enjoy it. The reactions we're getting, that we're reacting to online, are the extremes, and the people who really are fearful, like you said, BJ, and they're just reacting to this crazy.
Be afraid.
Yeah.
Be very afraid. Don't act like trans people and people of color haven't existed and now we're being mouthy. We've always existed and we're sick of your shit.
Yeah. Amen.
Unlike everybody else, I read the comments on the.
I don't know.
I read them.
Don't think
that I didn't read them. Because I did.
My personal favorite one, which was the reason why I read the comments, was there was a guy and he said, well, if there's a girl that's the main character, how can I possibly identify with the character?
Oh, Lord.
And the reactions to that, though, filled me with so much hope, because first was a woman. She just said, exactly. And the next person said, well, it's where you use your imagination. You can, if you can identify with another human being, period.
Yeah. If you have any semblance of empathy,
then maybe you shouldn't be watching anything or reading comic books.
Just stay out of civilization. All right, let's move on, because I do want to. We have a lot more stuff to talk about, and we could go on. We could get on our soapbox and we could talk forever about this, because we are very passionate about it. But There was also, we talked about Suicide Squad. There's a Final Fantasy movie coming out. It's related to Final Fantasy 15.
Is it Spirits Within?
No. No. It's different.
It's. I'm very excited that it's not Spirits Within, and it's actually...
Are you sure it's not Spirits Within?
I am 90% positive it's not Spirits Within.
So, yeah. So, it's tied into Final Fantasy 15.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a prequel, I think. Talks about the rise of the whatever, da da da.
Gods and like.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. It's not a movie. I mean, it's not going to be out in theaters, I think. It's a direct to video.
No, I think it's supposed to. I think it's supposed to get a theatrical release.
Oh. Well, this will be brave and bold of them to do this again after the Spirits Within nightmare.
Right.
Although I love the song from that, The Dream Within.
Everybody's been.
Freaking. I still love that song. So, we are excited about some more movies coming up. Obviously, Civil War is coming. We're very excited about that. And I'm Suicide Squad, you know, I'm curious. I'm actually hopeful that it'll be significantly better than Batman v Superman, more fun. And with these reshoot things, I think that we're going to see it be more of a fun thing. So
yeah,
let's move on to television. I think we've beat the movie horse to death. I am not caught up on The Magicians, but I do want to just say,
go ahead.
I think it's not a perfect show. I think there's problems. I do enjoy the show. I do enjoy the universe that it's in. I enjoy the subversiveness of the universe and the writing that's going on to the different characters. It is sort of magic realism. It's not as much Harry Potter, though they tried to play that up to get, obviously, attention. But the idea of magic as a drug, as addiction, playing off all of the tropes, but again, sort of subverting them, I think is great. And not Quentin. Quentin's the main character. I can never think of Elliot. Elliot's awesome. I love Elliot.
Elliot is the sole reason why I continue to watch.
Wow, really?
Because this show is daggers in my soul.
Oh, why is that?
Because it's, you know, and I don't necessarily have a problem with adapting things from like literature to television. I just think they've done a really bad job of it.
And I don't disagree with you. I read the first book so long ago that I don't remember a lot of what they did. And evidently they're bringing in other stuff. I think we talked about this.
And they're bringing
in
other stuff. And you know it's bad when you're just like, so wait, sexy time magic? Sexy time magic.
I don't remember.
How far have you gotten?
I'm down like 3 episodes. I need to catch up.
Okay. Sexy time magic.
Sexy time magic.
Or when they're like, they throw you a bone and then they proceed to shove it in some orifice of your person and make it hurt. Like there wasn't a nod to Janet. There is a nod to what's their friend? It's Janet, Alice, Elliot, Quentin, and the other one, Josh.
Josh. Oh, Josh is the traveler?
No, Penny. No. That's Penny.
Oh, that's Penny.
They make these nods, and they kind of give you what you think, oh, I know what this is, and then they literally rape it in front of you. I'm sorry. What's the term I should use?
But rape it in a
something
sense.
Warning. Something
trigger warning.
Warning. Trigger warning. There we go.
Yeah. When you say rape it, you mean
they literally remember that episode of South Park where they go to see Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Yeah.
And they're sitting there and they're like, oh my God, they're raping him. They're raping him.
Yeah.
That's what this is like for
what?
Me.
What? But because they're messing with the text or because
they sped through they spent all this time on bullshit that we didn't need.
Yeah.
And then now that we're in the last like 2 episodes, especially this past episode, they literally are burning through as much as possible.
Okay,
and
so
it's not good.
Okay,
Elliot is amazing.
Oh, Elliot's fantastic.
Yeah,
Elliot
up,
is fantastic.
Is
and I like the dark turn after his brief boyfriend thing. That whole mess.
Because you can't have happiness if you're homosexual.
That's right.
The thing, because I've never read the books. So coming into it, it feels like everything Oral's saying makes perfect sense. It feels weird and disjointed because the only issue it's kind of the only issue I've had with the show because I like a couple of more characters, but It's just like all of a sudden things are sped up. All of a sudden it's
pacing
like.
Pacing is off.
The pacing is so weird.
I want to see this show. And it has been renewed, so we do know we'll get more of it.
Oh, I was afraid of that.
But I want to see a different showrunner. I want to see a retooling. I want to see something that makes it not more true to the book, but better in consistency of story and pacing. I think that you're absolutely right. There are issues. But it is unique on television right now. I would say there's nothing else like it. And for that very reason, I want to see it sustain and continue. Who's watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I know Oral's not. I know Jared is not.
I am.
Okay, I am not caught up. This is like I'm in a bad – I've been busy. I've been traveling. It's been crazy. But the last thing I saw, spoiler warning as always, they actually had the little going away for Mockingbird and Hunter.
Oh, yeah, Hunter and Mockingjay. Which
I will say –
Mockingbird.
Mockingbird.
Mockingjay is a different thing. I will say that episode was very well executed. I did not realize that's what it would be.
Oh, yeah.
The Spy's Goodbye or whatever is the title. It was very touching and very, like, moving at the end where they were sort of saluting them and you know, all that stuff. And that they kind of had to take one for the team. However, I don't think they actually had to take one for the team. I think that was a contrivance. Just, oh, well, we can't kill you off because you're going to get your own show. So let's just do this thing. So the plot didn't hold up to me, but it was still moving to see these two characters suddenly now ostracized off the team. But again, we know they're getting a pilot. They're probably getting a new series or whatever. It's going to have Dominic Fortune in it, which will be interesting, and it'll be other wacky spy adventures. So great. I don't know. Anything since then that's been crazy and, you know?
This, they've...
Grant Ward, that whole thing?
Oh, yeah. So I like villains. I like bad guys, and Grant Ward's, I won't even say descent, Grant Ward's transformation into Hive has been very entertaining. He is, I got to give the actor props, because...
he's playing the character now very different now that he's Hive.
Now that he's Hive, and it's like, the creature has access to his memories, so it still kind of acts a little bit like him, but at the same time, he's very creepy.
We have seen in television, it's a trope, to have a possession, or somebody takes over a character's mind, or whatever. And they don't always do a great job of conveying that that's a different thing in that person.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, probably, just thinking back real quick, is like Doctor Who... When Cassandra Nova, is it Cassandra Nova?
Yeah, possesses the one, the last
the Doctor.
True human.
It's the first episode of Tenet after the Christmas special. They're on the cat hospital,
yeah.
And so she possesses both Billy, Rose, and the Doctor. And like, I felt like that was actually a lot of fun, and they did a good job of that. In a similar mind, Grant Ward is now possessed by this entity from this other world.
Oh, they said he's not possessed. Like, he is literally this thing.
Well, right, because
like, there is no...
Grant Ward, the character, died. His body... Coulson kills him, okay? Crushes his sternum, like, probably crushes his heart, whatever. But yeah, no, this entity is now taking his visage, his form. And the same actor is playing it, and that's my point.
Yeah.
The same actor is there doing this thing that's very different. And I really do think it's good.
Like when Fred became Malaria and Angel?
Actually, yes.
Yes.
I thought that was very good, too. So I like that. Overall, I think the show is still struggling to figure out this Inhumans thing. And I'm really interested to see where they're going with it.
So the rumor mill is that they're going to scrap the Inhumans movie altogether.
Oh, well.
And I guess they're just going to let Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. consume it, which is fine because at this point, I'm just waiting for the royal family to pop up. That's all I'm waiting for.
Be interesting.
I'm just waiting for Medusa to show up and be like, hey, what's up? That's kind of what's keeping me in the show.
Yeah. I wouldn't let that be the only thing because I think you're going to be disappointed.
It's not bad. It's not the best. There are better shows. At this point, it's kind of just what's kind of going on in the world when the Avengers aren't doing stuff.
I'm curious to see. See, I don't think of that at all. Though they do mention them occasionally, I think it is its own thing altogether. I am curious to see when Civil War happens. Supposedly they are going to, that is going to be a moment that the show reacts to as they do in the previous movies, which will be interesting. Now, I have not caught up on Daredevil. We'll talk about that in a second. I think, did we talk about the end of Expanse?
I don't think we did. No, we did.
Okay.
We did. I think so, because it's been a while.
That was a great ending.
Yeah, it was great.
It leaves the door wide open for what's next.
The Expanse is awesome. I'm glad that we're going to see it in 2017. It is
It's out on Blu-ray now.
Yes.
Yep.
It is a phenomenal sci-fi series. If you miss space operas and you need something with a little kind of gravitas, to coin a phrase that was used overly so 6 years ago, definitely watch The Expanse.
It is, and this is a really elevator pitch.
They're in space.
I go.
Yeah.
Battlestar Galactica meets Game of Thrones. That's the elevator pitch I think a lot of people are using. And it's sort of true because it bounces around to different characters, a lot of political machinations to see which faction is going to come out on top. But it is in space in the not so distant future. Hard sci-fi, a lot of good concepts. It's great. Does anyone else watch Legends of Tomorrow?
I do.
Nope.
Okay. I want to point out a few things just real quick. First of all, it has actually been really fun.
Wentworth Miller is playing Captain Cold like this.
Yes,
and he
constantly
tilts his head down, looks over at you.
Hear him read
anything.
And
is really deliberate.
And he went the other day, this episode where they go into the future, and he actually said, did you see this?
I did.
Yes. I'm not making this up.
He did.
He puts on these like Oculus, like Microsoft Halo lens, or what are they called?
Like scanner glasses.
HoloLens. Sorry, not the Halo lens. HoloLens. And he was so impressed by the tech, because he's a big old geek in the show. Like literally probably two, but he's a big geek as Captain Cold. He makes Star Wars references all the time. And he said, yeah, it was amazing. So happy to hear that. I also did share, I want to briefly... His,
did they kill one of the Hawk people? Because you don't need to.
They did.
They did.
Okay, good.
I although he's kind of come back in flashbacks, of course. And he's, I mean, he's immortal. They'll keep bringing him back. They haven't done a lot with that, but I'm surprised because they could. Wentworth Miller was fat shamed a few years ago. He had been out in public. He had been depressed. Somebody recently took a picture of from then when he was just like in a jogging suit and had gained some weight and put it up against a really skinny, I think, Photoshop picture of what he looked like in Prison Break. And said something about, you know, oh, this is what happens when such and such goes on sale or some candy is available. Some stupid thing implying, okay, yeah, you're fat. Well, he took ownership of that meme, which is a little just, you know, picture that was shared, and talked to the issues of depression and how it is okay to gain weight. It is okay to go through these life changes and that there is always another side. You will get through it. You will be able to change in the future and it gets better. And it was a lovely, lovely, I think, attempt to, again, take ownership of this thing that was dark for him, and he's turning around and making something very positive for a lot of people. So if you have not seen this, go to Wentworth Miller's Facebook page or his Twitter, and you will read up on all of his stories about this time. It probably also had to do with him coming out and dealing with his sexuality. So, like, I'm really proud that he is not only playing a deliciously awesome Captain Cold, who is becoming more and more of a good-ish bad guy. Like, they're playing him off of a heat wave.
Yeah.
And they're showing the contrast. And this is true from the comics to some extent as
well.
His
boyfriend, sometimes ex-boyfriend.
No, they don't do that.
They are in my head.
That's your head. That's fine. Yeah. I don't disagree with you, but, you know. But the rest of the show is still really fun. They haven't gone back to the Old West, but I know they're going to do a Jonah Hex meetup. But everything else they've been doing is fairly like obscure DC lore. They did have Ra's al Ghul on recently, which was interesting in the past, because I think in Arrow he got killed or something. I don't know. But if you're a DC nut, if you like good old DC stuff, you definitely need to watch the show. It's gotten better and better as episodes have gone on. I did not watch this, but I think some of you did. Flash meets Supergirl. You didn't.
I didn't.
Okay.
So, Supergirl got really good.
Yeah.
It actually did. I hung in there, and I was not disappointed. They had a Red Kryptonite episode where they do a shot-for-shot remake of the Red Kryptonite incident in one of the original Superman movies.
Superman, yeah.
I was going to say, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman?
Where he's flicking peanut shells.
Dean Cain?
Oh, well, he's in it too, right?
Supposedly. He hasn't made a cameo yet, but
he was in the first episode. Yeah, Dean Cain is the dad.
They played her human father.
Yep.
Tom Welling?
No.
Michael Rosenbaum?
Oh, listen to you.
You're
trying so hard.
The thing I like about
Calissa Flockhart?
Yes.
Sort of.
not Cat Cora. Cat Grant, right?
Cat Grant.
But so specifically, let's talk about the Flash one, because we've talked a little bit about Supergirl. I think what made it so amazing to you?
It was all that bubblegum like superhero show stuff we like mm-hmm. about like the good stuff that we like about Supergirl and the Flash. It was just fun.
It was delightful.
It was fun.
It was the world's
cute.
Finest.
It was the most adorable. I mean, everything was adorable. Yeah. Like, at one point, I was like, okay, you guys seriously can't be that fucking cute. And the Flash literally runs out and gets everybody ice cream. And Kara's like, oh, shit, I'm going to eat this. So she just starts eating ice cream while everybody else is like, the fuck did this guy just do? And I'm like...
Because when I read my Flash comics, I love it when he gets ice cream for everybody. No, I know what you're saying.
And yeah.
I think especially that it came out right after Batman v Superman. It was... demonstrable of the idea of the networks versus the studios of what superheroes are in the DC universe. And the networks, I think, get it. I think they actually get what DC really is, whereas the studios, not so much. And part of it's because I know Geoff Johns is involved, and DC, from what I've understood, is more directly involved in the network side than the studios side. So
yeah, you watch the episode, and the whole time you're like, this is nice. I like this. This makes me happy.
Now, speaking of what makes us happy, Daredevil and the Punisher and Elektra, from what I've seen so far, I'm only halfway through, made me happy. I enjoyed it.
Karen Page is my favorite character in Daredevil.
Yeah.
I love that actress.
She's great.
She is phenomenal. She breathes life.
She's great in True Blood as well.
Yeah. This is the only reason why I kept watching.
Jessica.
She breathes life into a series that can sometimes take itself too seriously.
A bit ponderous.
Not that she doesn't take her role seriously, but it breathes this sort of like human element to it. And that's what she is, but that's also what Foggy is.
Yes.
But Matt's got his own head stuck up his ass, and like they bring him down a peg or two, and it's, you know, I like seeing the first meeting with, spoiler alert, with Kingpin. However, I will say this. Watch the trailer. Like, watch the recap. If they give you a recap for Daredevil, watch it. Because you're like, I remember everything. I'm like, I don't remember this. It's like when we were watching House of Cards. And I'm just like, why is this person having sex with this man to get this car? This doesn't make sense to me. Did he used to be a writer? Oh, nope. Different character. Totally got this wrong.
No.
But
they do help.
But yes, the recaps help. But
yeah.
Totally. Like, it was a great season. Kingpin, awesome. Daredevil.
Wait.
He's a good Matt.
Are you talking about season one or two?
Both.
Oh.
I
think I accidentally heard that was a thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Do you like the way they handled the Punisher? Do you like that?
Yeah, no, except for the fact that, you know, one bullet, one kill, that's bullshit. You opened fire in a hospital with a sawed-off shotgun.
Seriously, I know, right?
You don't care about collateral damage.
Yeah.
Don't pretend like you do. Other than that, it was great.
Do you like Elektra? Do you like the character?
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
She was great.
I was...
Batshit crazy.
I was...
Right, that's appropriate.
I think it was weird because I went into the Daredevil series... Because a lot of people I know were like, well, the movie was terrible. I'm like, yes, that has nothing to do with this. Like, same character, but that was a movie. This is a TV series.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I realized, like, when they introduced Elektra and just the way her character reacted to things and just the way she talked down the mat sometimes, I was like, yes. Yes, I'm completely on board with you. And she was... She was the perfect kind of calming to that kind of first three episode or four episode run when they're just all kind of talking about the Punisher and dealing with the Punisher. She was kind of this perfect, like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, like literally like, hey, how's it going?
I did say, and actually Pat kind of said this, and I agree, like, I don't care as much about Matt Murdock or Daredevil. He's there and he's the core of the show, but I just like kind of Superman sometimes or Batman sometimes, I care more about the side characters reacting to this force of nature that is the main character. Because he's harder to relate to And honestly, in a lot of ways, the way they're portraying Matt is very just boring.
He's just eye candy, though.
Well, he is eye candy.
So pretty.
That's not untrue.
So cute.
So I'm excited about it. Now, you said you saw the little trailer teaser for...
Yeah, so if you fast forward, because the final credits for the last episode are very, very tenuous and long, there is like a slight little... There's like a little three minute stinger of Luke Cage confronting a couple of gangsters with guns. So I guess we can all know how that's going to end. But I'm very excited for Luke Cage, especially since they introduced the character in Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. And I think the show's supposed to have like an all black cast, because it's supposed to be his parents, him, and I can't. For the life of me, I can't remember the lower level Marvel gangster that's supposed to be his bad guy.
Probably Tombstone. I'm just.
Oh, I think you might be right. I think there's a white cop.
No, it's a woman.
What? A gangster?
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, you know, TV is exciting. Did I miss anyone?
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is coming back.
Next week. Or is it 2 weeks?
It is. Did anyone watch the Pee Wee movie?
Haven't watched it yet, but I hear it's awesome. I saw bits and pieces. I need to watch it.
Did you like it?
If you like anything Pee Wee Herman, if you just liked a couple episodes of the show, yeah. If you liked
one of the movies, BJ. Do you like Paul Rubens? Yes or no? If yes, watch Pee Wee. If not, don't worry about it.
I want to see the off-Broadway thing they did. That's
not going to happen.
No, I think it's out somewhere.
Nope, it doesn't exist anymore.
Oh. I'm sad. So let's move on. There's a lot of exciting things with games we'll talk about briefly. I know one thing is there's this rumor. I don't know if this was confirmed. Are they doing a PS 4K or 4.5?
The Sony's confirmed. Yeah, they're going to do either a 4.5 or some kind of 4K PS4.
Good to have not bought it yet.
Probably if you have a 4K TV. I don't have $5,000 for a 4K TV.
You can get one for a lot less than that now.
Oh, okay. Well, but I don't have $1,000 for a 4K TV.
Well, I bought a new TV a couple years ago, and the thing at the time, they had 4K TVs. They were stupid expensive, but there wasn't a lot of content. So finally now, if content's catching up, I saw a video clip of Star Wars Battlefront in 4K, and it looked like, you know, disgustingly real. But I'm more excited about this VR stuff. Friends of mine have been playing with the Vive in different like training projects, and supposedly that Valve Portal demo is just ridiculous.
It's really I did that demo. There's a lot going on, so like it's sensory overload.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
but it's like the most immersive. I've played with the Oculus. I'm very excited about the HoloLens or Halo Lens or whatever. It's HoloLens, I know. Sorry. But that's more like an AR type thing than a VR thing. So yeah. Augmented reality versus virtual reality. But that Portal, the Vive, everything I've heard is just top notch. And it explains why. It's like $900. It's not cheap. But the I guess PlayStation has a VR.
Yeah, their VR it's supposed to come out in October. I think it's already up for pre-order. So their VR is it just uses a lot of their current pre-apparel stuff. You have to have the camera
wavy thing. Oh, the camera. I have the camera.
Yeah,
I have the little tennis ball or a ping pong ball on a thing. I got that.
I believe it'll use that or regular controller. But you definitely have to have the camera. And a lot of people were like, well, it's supposed to be the cheapest one. It's $200 just for the VR.
Okay.
And then the camera sold separately. But at this point, you can get the camera for like $20.
Actually, I have the PS3 camera, so I don't think that counts.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. That's a shame. I'm not personally big on the VR stuff.
No?
I'm actually more interested in the augmented reality stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not something.
Give me Quest World. I was promised Quest World.
I was going to say VR porn. Which they accidentally have.
I would be fine with that.
I think I've seen it. No.
What?
Sorry, it's the real thing. That's
well.
Some of us are
Jared,
not that privileged.
Admittedly, there is a better.
Y'all are doing it wrong.
Sometimes you do really want steak, and sometimes you will settle
for steakums.
For steakums.
For steakums.
For hamburgers. Let's go with that.
Yes, steak.
You know what I mean?
I use that exact same analogy, but not for VR.
Oh. Ooh. Is that another Quest for the Crown episode we need to talk about?
Yes.
Settling. If you have not heard our Quest for the Crown all about masculinity episode, it is only, I believe, two episodes prior on our feed. You should check it out.
Yep.
It was great. We had a lot of good feedback. In fact, we have new friends from the Bearded Fruit podcast.
Yay!
Bearded Fruit. Cody and Neil. Oh my god, to get their name right. Daigle Oriens. Their hyphenated name. They host this show about pop culture and not sci-fi, like politics and culture. Uh-huh. It's a little more culture than pop culture.
Okay.
But queer theory, politics, ooh, current events, that kind of stuff. And it's a great show. They've started listening to us, and I've started listening to their show, and I would highly encourage you guys to check it out.
What's up, guys?
Bearded Fruit on SoundCloud as well. So check them out. And I think at some point we're going to do a little cultural exchange, if you will.
Okay.
Ooh.
But they really reacted well. In fact, many people have said great things about the masculinity episode. Really? So we will be doing more in that series so we can build up all the jewels in our crown.
If you thought I was feisty tonight or today, whatever time you're listening to.
Uh-huh.
I can't wait.
For more of those? Or is there a specific
precious jewels?
So many.
Just like those jewels. So there's also one more gaming thing, a Final Fantasy exposition. Is that
nobody cares.
No Man's Sky is coming. It already came.
Wait.
Nobody cares. No Man's Sky is coming.
Well, hold on. One thing at a time. I want to know about that too.
No Man's Sky is coming.
What is this Final Fantasy?
No, there was a big Final Fantasy reveal. That's where they revealed the trailer for the movie. Gotcha.
Nobody cares. No Man's Sky is coming.
Final Fantasy 14 has an annual exponent, so that's what I thought you were talking about.
When does
No Man's Sky come out?
Before we talk about No Man's Sky, can I talk about Salt and Sanctuary?
Of course, yes, okay. Absolutely.
Being a huge Dark Souls fan, Bloodborne, whatnot, a group of fanatics who absolutely love the series decided to get together and make a 2D platforming version of Dark Souls, and it's called Salt and Sanctuary.
Where nothing is happy.
No, it's a shitty ass world that you live in. You're stranded in this depressing, violent world, kind of like Batman versus Superman, but enjoyable, at least from what I can glean from the previous.
And what platform is Steam?
Right now it's PS4 that I've been playing with, but I think they will be doing a PC release soon, which I'll be happy about.
Sweet.
Yep. So No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky.
When does that come out?
You know, it's coming out at the end of June. I got until the end of June to get a PS4.
Oh, you do need it. It's not PC?
But I mean, it may be, but I don't want a PC. I want to play it on the PS4. The catch is that I also should buy a new TV. So now what should be $450 or so is now like $650.
Well, why you gotta buy a new TV?
I need a new TV. And look, if I'm gonna play the game that I was put on this world to play, I'm gonna play it in a goddamn new TV.
Oral, tell me why you're excited again. I know we've talked about this before, but what is the single most exciting thing?
It's a procedurally generated world. You know what it is? It's a more streamlined version of Eve Online.
Okay. Yeah. So more exciting than Eve, because Eve is kind of boring.
Where you actually have worlds to go to, and you're not just dealing in ISK. Side note, there's a massive war going on EVE Online, and I will post a link to the podcast that I listen to.
Uh-huh.
And if you like hearing about like gameplay and like random shit of universes you've never been to but you want to join, it is $6,000 of real world money went like literally just burned up in the blink of an eye.
Holy crap.
Ooh. It is brutal. People are mad. There are coalitions.
Oh boy!
But I imagine that's what No Man's Sky is going to be.
I don't know.
I might forego get new bricks that I need.
Oh jeez.
The only problem I have with No Man's Sky is that yes, it's procedurally generated, but even though it's procedurally generated, it's only limited to how it's been like parsed out in code.
Right.
So like on one planet, you could have all the aliens have red hats, but on the next planet, they have green hats.
They don't care. They have warp drives, and you can pilot your own ship.
They did this with Spore, though. It was procedurally generated.
No, how dare you bring up Spore?
Listen.
Spore is an abomination.
I just want to make a point that it could be disappointing if you are so built up. It looks great. I'm very excited. You know I'm a big sci-fi guy. I love space exploration as much as you, but I just want to caution that we should dial our expectations down just until we experience it.
Here's the catch.
And you're going to talk about it when you play it.
I'm not going to be the first person who runs out and buys No Man's Sky. I'm going to wait a week.
One week. Okay.
I'm waiting a week just to see what happens. And other than that, I'm going to be hooking, to make money.
Whoa, wait, I'm sorry.
I might be one of them.
Can you do that shameless, in the game too?
Shameless 22-year-olds who create a GoFundMe. I'm never going to create a GoFundMe. I'm buying this with my own goddamn coins.
Good job.
side note, talking about space exploration, I fell down a rabbit hole of watching gay cinema.
Oh.
And I haven't stopped. I've watched like 79 to like
what
96 plus hours of gay cinema in the past month.
Are you okay?
I am watching it in the dead of night and drinking, realizing this is what romance is. But what I will say is I watched a fan-made movie of Star Trek, the original series.
Okay.
Fire and Blood. It was super dreamy. It was super cute, even though it doesn't end well.
this is another discussion later, but like, I hate gay cinema so much.
So you bad. Know what?
But, you know, it's the spectrum of either it's super campy or super depressing.
Yes, I agree. You know what? Yeah.
I have found some really good ones.
There are. They exist.
Jim, I will send you links to them.
I found one.
I have seen, what was that Brazilian movie that came out recently? It's The Way He Looks.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because he's blind.
Well, let's talk about that later.
Here's what I want. Oral, I want you to do this.
Uh-huh.
I want you to pick your top 10 gay.
I can do them right now.
Okay, no, not right now. No, I don't want it right now.
Not right now?
No, mm-hmm. I want on Facebook.
Are we doing a Microsoft?
No, well, we could, but here's
let's do a Microsoft.
Facebook.com/flameonshow. I want you, I'm pointing to you, to post not just a sentence or two, maybe a paragraph, what you liked about it and the link to it or whatever you want to do.
Oh, I can do all of that.
I want that over the next, like however many weeks, just one a week. I think that would be great content. I think that would be great for a lot of people, myself included, who gave up on gay cinema years ago because I got tired of the depressing and the campy.
I will be more than happy to write a mini-sode for that.
And we could do that too. So start doing that. And then we'll all do our homework and we can talk about it.
Don't get me wrong. I like gay cinema, but just I like the depressing ones because they seem a little more realistic.
Yes.
Oh, I got one.
The campy ones
where
are just like.
Brothers went at it. No.
They make me so angry.
A brother was jealous.
What was that
He killed his other brother to make sure because he could only have him in the love of his life.
Oh, yes.
Some
murder?
I want some fucked up shit.
I am all for murder.
Oh, Lord. All right, we open a can of worms. Let me dial this back to video games.
You want
games.
A Cruel Intention / The Craft type one? I got one of them too.
So, at Texas Bear Roundup a few weeks back, since we have last talked, Pat and I went. We met from Gamer X or Mini Boss. I think it's Mini Boss or Mid Boss. Hold on. We met Phil Jones, who did the Gaming and Color documentary.
Oh, wonderful.
And Phil was very nice. And we really enjoyed getting to spend pretty much most of the convention with him, running around, talking to bears, doing whatever. But he is Mid Boss. Sorry, not Mini Boss. He works there at Midboss, Bear Cub at Midboss, also works the exhibition floor and plans the exhibition for GamerX. Huh. So if you have not already, go on Kickstarter, look up GamerX. They are looking to fund their GamerX 4, not entirely through Kickstarter, but as an adjunct to get better programming, better guests, et cetera, et cetera. And Phil Jones is also potentially going to join us in a future episode.
Ooh, nice.
He's very interested in talking about gaming with a Y. And actually, it was super sweet. So we.
Are you sure we don't have enough time for gay Asian cinema? Because I got like 13 to
gay
17 of
Asian
them.
Cinema. Even
I smell microsode coming up.
Yeah,
you're in charge of gay cinema from.
I got a lot.
You've done your research. Now, I will only say before we transition to comics that gaming wise, I have been playing a lot of Old Republic. I know this surprises some of you, probably not others.
Oh.
But the new Knights of the Fallen storyline.
Is this news for 2012?
Listen, the new Knights of the Fallen storyline, they are pumping out content once a month. It is actually very engaging. It is very standalone so far. I will say, you know, if you don't like MMOs, this is probably something you'd enjoy. But it is very non-MMO for a lot of it. Now, it's starting to open up after like 9 chapters. But classic Star Wars, good versus evil, foreign worlds that we've never been to before. Very interesting story. Good voice acting. Very BioWare. And I if you like that sort of thing, if you like Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic, whatever, you should check it out. And soon I will come back to Final Fantasy XIV, which has a new patch coming that's very exciting.
Because it's 2007. 14's
not been out that long. Anyway, all right, so video games, whatever. We're done. I think it was one other thing, but we'll come back to it in a future thing. Comics. Now, it's been a while since we talked. Obviously, we've read a lot of comics. Well, a few of us have. I don't know. Jared, have you read any comics?
I have, yes.
Okay, good. All right, good. Good. I want to start with Jared on this.
Okay, oh, yay. Okay.
I want to know, as I get up to turn off the light, as our as it gets darker and darker here.
Oh, yes, because I'm talking.
Flame on after hours.
Exactly. The shade is spreading.
You're grooving with Jared.
No, it's Jared. Called Flame On
After Dark.
Ooh, I like that. Jared, what has been the most impressive, and we're going to do this for each of us, so think about it, the most impressive or most engaging or the most original, whatever you want, comic that you've experienced in the last 2 months?
Monstrous.
Talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to know more.
I'm sure Oral could give like a better assessment as far as the story goes, but just I love the artwork. The artwork is gorgeous. It kind of reminds me of, I forget the name of the guy who created Berserk, but it's kind of that same rendering style, only in color. And it's visceral, it's gritty, and it has an elegance to it too. But you know, we could talk, you know, go back to that discussion about, you know, being represented in a comic, but like, you know, it's mostly female characters in there, but you know, I don't mind that. Mm-hmm. You know.
So the way I explain it is, remember during World War II, when Japan took over a portion of China and made Manchuria, it's that told in a fantastic setting.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
Do you know who the writer is? I forgot her name.
Oh, it's Marjorie Liu.
Yeah. But it's her grandparents.
Yes.
That was the time that they grew up in.
It is fantastic. There's a lot of world building. Mm-hmm. So you have to be committed.
Yeah.
Be committed.
But so far I'm really enjoying the series. You know, there are little snippets of Chinese and Japanese folklore and myth and kind of woven in there. But overall, it's got like this,
the fox demon.
Yeah, the fox demon. But it's got like this kind of, I wouldn't say dungeon punk, but it's got like a steampunk feel to it. But it's, you know, more magical rather than, you know, mechanical and all that. And it's just, I'm anxious to see, you know, what comes next. Oh, they're like creepy Cthulhu, like, you know, gods in it too. So
it's right up your alley. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, yeah. Now, Oral, what about you?
So I thought about this long and hard, but this week knocked it out of the park. And it's not Poe Dameron, even though Poe Dameron is awesome, written by Charles Soule, art done by Phil Noto. But I'm dark side with Rural. I'm Sith. So it's great, but I'm just like, not about y'all. Ta-Nehisi Coates, the genius MacArthur like recipient, and Brian Stelfreeze have created Black Panther. Issue one just came out this week. Which is it came out the 6th, okay. April 6th.
Yeah, this past Wednesday, right?
It is the best comic book of the week. It is one of the greatest Black Panther stories ever. Because what it is it takes a look at T'Challa and says, yes, he is great as Black Panther, but we think he might be pretty shit as King of Wakanda. And it's not that he's incompetent. It's not that he's incapable. It's just that he may not want to do it. And there are a lot of different things that come to being a monarch of the most technically advanced spiritual, like, kingdom and country and like people of the world in Marvel. And it's smart. It is deep. There's not so much action in the first issue, but there's a lot of like political unrest. And so if you love really smart, interesting comic books, pick up Black Panther. You have to pick up that.
Did it build off of any of the Hickman Black Panther stuff?
Yes.
Okay, because when I saw the artwork,
does.
I was like, this reminds me of what Hickman was doing.
It does, and it while Hickman kind of made these things happen and like move from there as a jumping off point, like the new Black Panther series like sits and deals with these repercussions.
Is it sold out?
It is sold out in a lot of places. There might be. I'll see what I can do, girl.
All right. I'm just saying, Pat did not have. I mean, I may have. Anyway,
I texted him to pick it up. Also, lesbians.
What? Oh, yes. I can read that too. That's great. All right, BJ, what about you?
So Oral cornered me and got me to get Black Panther. So he is completely right about Black Panther. Although
there you go.
He is completely right, 100%. However, I have been picked up issue 3 of Spider-Man with Miles Morales. Right. And I love it because Miles' family is a hot mess, kind of like my family. And it's Miles dealing with the whole dual life thing, which nobody's good at. Nobody has it down. And it's just kind of watching how his life is kind of like this house of cards, and Abuela gets called in to come and straighten him out.
Oh, she ain't playing.
And she does not. It is very much like my grandmother, my mother's mother, when my grades were not up to par. Phone gets taken away. Like 16-year-old kid locked up in New York City, grounded. So it's there's a cute moment with Miss Marvel showing up unannounced. There's a cute moment with Bombshell showing up unannounced.
Drugs, selling drugs.
Are you selling the pot? The LSD, and then Lana Lee's has to Google what LSD is. So it's really cute. It's really fun, and then they introduce some random mutant that's I'm sure gonna have some sort of repercussions, but
right.
And Black Cat is also in the back.
Black Cat.
Black Cat and Hammerhead.
Oh, Hammerhead.
Which I haven't seen in a hot minute. But there's stuff brewing and it's interesting. I like it so far.
I'm interested in that, and I'm definitely interested in Black Panther. And then I think Monstrous, you had mentioned to me I need to pick it up or at least get caught up in trades or something if it's not been out too long. So my choice is a Boom book. Boom has been up and down, you know. They've kind of been languishing a little bit.
Boom went bust.
Well, not yet, did it?
No.
But yeah, but a lot of ways, yes. There is a book though they're putting out. It's called The Spire. This is a book by Cy Spurrier. I think actually Simon Spurrier, but it's same guy. Who's done Marvel stuff? I think most recently, like the X-Force, Cable and X-Force book. That wasn't my favorite, but you know, I think he's doing stuff for the new Marvel and possibly DC. And then Jeff Stokely, who did Six-Gun Gorilla, they're doing what is the closest I've seen to a Nausicaa-like book I've encountered. And if you just look at the art style, I'll show you after this.
You know, it's funny. Literally everyone who said her there's two camps. Who heard you say Nausicaa? There are people like, let me on this train. And there are people like me, let me off this train.
You don't like Nausicaa?
I don't dislike it.
Let me ask
care.
You this. Have you read the manga of Nausicaa? Or
I
only
have
seen the movie?
Not.
I lent Aaron, our friend from a comic shop, I lent him my
Is
volume
it more
one.
Tentacle vagina monsters?
No.
Okay.
No. Nausicaa? What?
Tentacle vagina monsters.
This is the Miyazaki film.
Tentacle vagina monsters.
No, there's no tentacle vagina monsters.
They're not vagina monsters, but yes, they
the
look,
little omu? They're
yes,
not
the
vagina?
Tentacle vagina monsters.
All right. Anyway, this...
A woman spreads her legs and tentacle vagina.
Now, monster. In this book...
I'm sorry, that's rude.
However, the character, main character, Shaw, is a lesbian, and she has a girlfriend, and there are some sex scenes, nothing explicit, in case you were wondering. I don't know if you were. But it is a very interesting sort of political, societal intrigue type thing in this culture that has different castes, different races, all sort of unified in this world. This character, Shaw, is a cipher, existed for many years, shapeshifter, can change her form temporarily or permanently. And they play with that idea. And it's approaching its last issue. I believe issue 8 is
eight?
Coming up.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this is one of the best books I've read outside of superhero comics in a long time. And I really, 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 really recommend, if you have not picked it up, if you find the issues at a store and they'll have a bunch of them backlogged, whatever, or if you just want to wait for the trade, it's worth checking out. And if you're a Miyazaki fan, just to see Stokely's art, he's not exactly aping Miyazaki, but he's doing it as like a loving homage, and it's beautiful.
Before I forget, Grant Morrison finally came out with his All-Star Wonder Woman slash
Wait, that's out?
Wonder Woman Earth One.
Yeah, yeah, that's out.
That just came out this past Wednesday along with Black Panther.
I hope
it was a really big week in comic book.
I hope that's in stock as well.
It okay.
Uh oh.
They take Wonder Woman back. No, it's not a bad
I've heard mixed.
They take Wonder Woman back to her origins. But her creator origins, where there's a lot of aspects of bondage and kink. It's a kinky bondage Wonder Woman.
You've got BJ's nipples who like rock hard. You know that, right?
Lesbians, because let's be real.
Yeah, and it's gone.
Lesbians.
And we're gone.
And like there was an interview where Grant Morrison was talking about it like almost a year ago.
It's been
He's
a while.
Like, you know, like this is a society of women who have lived separate from men for thousands of years. So we want their culture and technology to reflect that. And which is why we kind of wanted the invisible jet to look like a uterus. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
I said invisible vagina jets.
Yes.
And what I didn't realize, told recently, not all vaginas look alike.
Oh, I did not know that. I thought they were all carbon copies.
No, they're not.
I thought they were all black bars is what I
meant. And so... all of the invisible jets that you see don't look alike.
Oh, well,
they
good.
All look different.
They're like snowflakes.
Like, like ridges and like kind of like dips.
Phalange.
And it looks like
cilia.
It looks like a clam, but like if a clam was
the
like one piece instead of having like a bivalve. Also, there are like seashell. There are seashell sky cycles because, you know. Like they open up like vaginas. I assume. I don't know.
I don't know
it
either.
It gives you aspects of like Aphrodite.
Do you know what I just learned the other day?
Or I'm sorry, Venus.
We've talked about a gold star gay. We've talked about a double, I think, gold star gay. Do you know what a triple gold star gay is?
Wouldn't that just be platinum at that point?
Well, I don't know.
Double myrrh. I'm sorry,
Jared. You're confused.
I am confused. What is a gold star gay?
A gold star gay in the parlance, this is not my term, is a gay man who has not been with a woman.
Okay.
Okay. A double gold star gay is a gay man who has never been even close to a vagina because they were C-section.
Oh, see, I thought that was a pure blood.
Oh, well, there may be other terms too. Now, a triple, and this is Brad Locley, who we saw the other week at Parliament. A triple gold star gay, and I don't know if I quite agree with this 100% because it has nothing to do with vagina. They are they're of course C-section, never been with a woman.
Test tube baby.
No, though I like the way you're thinking. They never breastfed.
Oh.
And this is where again there's a departure.
Oh, bullshit.
Right? No. I know because gay men like breasts, but I say that blithely, but you know
that's no, because I was talking about this. No.
Breast milk is important.
Well, but like, they're not saying it's a good thing.
No, just... I was talking about this with a queer woman. Like, gold star gay is ridiculous. Double gold star gay is ridiculous.
Well, of
also,
course
what
it's
I call
ridiculous.
A legacy where two lesbians decide we want to have a baby, and that baby turns out to be a homosexual. But, like, look, I've slept with a woman. I mean, I don't want to do it anymore, but I did it once because you never know.
Yeah.
I found it fascinating that there was a term that was...
There is no term. That's a shitty term.
I think there is a term. We
that's
did not use it.
That's a shitty term.
Other than I just
did. I came up with legacy.
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 Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Legacy.
Okay.
Okay. So are there any other comics that we feel like you deserve honorable mention?
Nope, time to go.
I kind of like the Goddamned.
Oh, Goddamned is awesome.
Yeah.
Biblical, horror, depressing, depraved, but that's the time.
Like, it's like Conan the Barbarian. That's exactly it.
That's true.
Or
but
like
it's cute.
Bible adventures, except you're not carrying Moses on your head.
Oh,
that's so true.
It's post Eden, pre flood.
Yes. And Noah's in it, which is interesting. Do we even want to give a cursory mention of the exciting DC and Marvel events?
Nobody knows anything for Rebirth.
We just know there's Rebirth happening.
Uh-huh.
And there will be Afterbirth happening. And then there is also Civil War 2.
Civil War 2, which nobody really cares about. What we're really excited about is Dead No More, where they're bringing back Uncle Ben, dragging up Spider-Man's dead people. If he failed you in life, you're coming back to him in death.
That just seems... Yeah.
Bring out your dad.
There you go. Exactly.
Bring out your Marvel dad.
I don't know. I always love it when Peter Parker has horrible things happen to him. It's kind of the thing.
Night.
Right. Exactly. That's what it feels like. It's like, oh, come on. What is
but
this?
They don't seem to be zombies. They're just dead people who are alive again.
So it's like Earth X and then Universe X and then Paradise X. Like everybody lives. As Hickman would say. So, I do want to give one more brief thing. Ultimates has been really fun.
It has.
Oh my god!
If you like the cosmic stuff that Marvel does so well back in the day with Starlin and before that Kirby and all that, this Ewing is killing it. And Rocafort, the art is excellent. It's its own thing. It's not a Kirby homage, but it's got that Kirby crackle, if you will, not exactly, but it's got Galactus. The Lifebringer. It's got Eternity all bound up. Some for some kinky reason, we're not sure. Maybe he hung out with the Thermoscarians. I don't know. And it's got
Miss America.
He likes soup. Thermoscarians.
Oh my god, I do. It's so true. But no, I really recommend.
They were brought to us by Amazon Prime. The Prime brought us thermoses who decided they didn't want to live with igloos, and so they. created Thermoscara. There's a lot of bisque.
I want to go there. I love bisque. Oh my god. Okay, now I'm hungry. So
crab bisque.
If you have not checked out us before and you really like what you heard, or you didn't and you want to write about us anyway, we really appreciate going to iTunes and rating and reviewing us. Both matter. Both help us get up in the rankings. You'd be surprised now in this day and age. The other big thing is to share it with your friend. Send us a little tweet. Mention us, Flame On Podcast on Twitter, Flame On Show on everything else, and get the word out because we really like hearing from our fans, getting new listeners. We've had some great listener mail recently, and just we want to hear from you. So please, flameonshow.com. Check us out. Rate and review us on iTunes. Now, we are introducing a new segment at the end of this episode that we've never done before, but we are excited about doing. It is our one-ups, the things that give us life. Did I get that right?
Or that little flag that you pick up in Smash Brothers where you hold it long enough and it gives you an extra life.
I like that too. I like that too. So this is a new thing. Just us sharing something that we've been really passionate about or we really recommend you to check out because it's awesome. I'm going to start with Oral.
Okay. So I already talked about Black Panther. Mm-hmm. I've already talked about Poe Dameron. What I'm really excited about is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is coming back. And it is a show that I find hilarious. It's really quirky. I love the cameos in it. And I know that if I had decided to follow my bliss and move to New York and try to become a Broadway actor, I would have been Titus Andromedon.
All right. Pinot Noir.
Damn it.
All right. BJ?
I actually have to get a little basic. With this, a game recently came out for cell phones. For those of you that are still holding out hope that they're ever going to release the last Kingdom Hearts game, they came out with Kingdom Hearts Unchained, which in the narrative is like technically just kind of a retelling of the original story of the Kingdom Hearts series. It actually is part of the main narrative. So if you are an addict like me, it's really fun. It's not as money grubby as most of those free-to-play games are. And right now, you get a whole bunch of bonuses if you log on this
week. Just play the main games. Don't do it. It's a trap. It's all a trap.
So fun.
Is it like Miitomo?
No.
No?
No. It's not. Miitomo is incredibly pointless. This is at least a game.
All right.
Jared, what's giving you life?
Yeah, seriously.
The Warcraft movie coming out over summer.
Yup.
Do you want to watch it together?
Sure, we can go watch it together.
We could all do a thing. Let me know. I want to see it. I mean, I play Warcraft for a hot second.
Way to invite yourself to a date, Brian.
Oh, wait, this is a date?
No, it's not a date.
Listen, it could be a group date.
I was just planning on crashing, so.
Exactly.
Y'all should double date it, and I'll just show up with nachos that I got from Taco Bell.
Uh-huh.
You're that person, and I can't be seen with you.
Oh. So my thing that's giving me life, I went last night to UCF Celebrates the Arts at the Dr. Phillips Center here in Orlando. Hans Zimmer was there, composer of such movies as Batman vs. Superman, Man of Steel. I'll get his bad ones out of the way. and Interstellar, which was an amazing film that still I enjoyed thoroughly and loved the music too. I know Pat hates it, but as he listens to this later and he's editing and goes, oh, that movie, which literally gave him a headache and made him want to like pull his eyes out. But if you like exploration of space, sci-fi, all that stuff, it is a great film. It is very much the spirit of 2001. Last night, they had Hans Zimmer, musicians from UCF, and some of his own musicians he's worked with, and Kip Thorne, the scientific advisor for Interstellar, who has done a lot of work studying gravitational waves. And what I learned last night as part of this multimedia musical experience with a physics lecture was LIGO. LIGO is the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory. This is a detector, actually two detectors of four that they're going to build, that detects gravity waves. And you might go, what the fuck is a gravity wave? Well, all that you have to really worry is that this is something Einstein speculated existed, and they have confirmed with these interferometers that they exist. And not only does it complement the existing astronomy of light, X-ray, and not gamma, ultraviolet, whatever the other spectrum of EM frequencies, but it also shows how gravity, the space-time itself, ripples in reaction to major cosmic events. Kind of like Secret Wars. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was just like, LIGO. So I'm like, are we talking about Zoids? In that Zoid.
So specifically, the thing that when they turned on this detector, okay, this thing is huge. It's giant. Think particle accelerator huge, just to detect these gravitational waves. They turned it on, and they detected not one, but two black holes colliding. And you might go, well, how the hell did they know they were black holes? That's physics. There's math. It's complicated. I'm not going to explain it today, but it was really cool because they did visualizations using the effects team from Interstellar to visualize what it looked like when these black holes merged. And then Hans Zimmer had musicians playing music to this. It was the coolest planetarium show I have ever experienced. And I was not high at all. People around me, I can't speak for them. They might have been. I did smell a little bit of something in the audience. I don't know. But I had a thoroughly great time, and I love the music from Interstellar, so I want to give a shout-out to my friend Dave Schreier, director of – he's not director. He's like the assistant director of athletic bands at UCF. He got us in. It was a free event. They're celebrating the arts all week, and it's a really cool thing. But I have mad respect for Hans Zimmer for being a part of this and for the work of Kip Thorne with the LIGO project, and it's very cool to see us being able to explore space without leaving our homes.
Still sounds like a Zoid to me.
That's all right. It's okay. So that's all we have for today, unless anyone has any parting words. And we did our one-ups. If you like us, flameonshow.com. Rate and review us. And we are a part of the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, where you can give us money, subscribe to our Patreon. You'll get all kinds of awesome bonus
content.
Don't
forget to like us on Facebook.
Oh, and that's always lovely. Tweet at us. Message us. Do whatever you like. We'll see you down the road.
I'm still pretty sure that Lygos is a Zoid.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud, or give us your feedback at nerdyshow.com/survey. Flame On was created by Brian Pittard and engineered by Pat O'Rourke. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame on all your favorite social networks. If it's gay and geeky, we've got you covered.